Is this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah, what's up? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and more importantly, convenient way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to it while you are changing tires on your car,
kicking a corner kick in soccer,
restringing your guitar,
taking a head first dive on the slip and slide,
or
when you're stuck in the gutter looking for your money.
So I'm joined here today with my co-host, the man who can speak Spanish in Russian, Justin Murray.
What's up, G?
What's up, G? How you doing today?
Nothing, chilling.
Just chilling?
Killing.
Killing, you're killing?
Dealing.
Dealing?
Yeah.
So you're chilling, you're killing time, and you're dealing drugs.
I'm an OG, man.
What's an OG?
Original gangster.
Oh, OG. We never taught them OG, we just taught them how to say G.
Okay, there you go. Now you know.
Now you know.
I'm not really a gangster if you didn't figure that out by now.
Yeah, as a Van Damme gangster, kicking some ass around the city. And how do you speak Spanish in Russian? I've always wondered how you do that.
It's a Jedi trick, actually. That you have to speak Jedi if you want to learn this trick.
Jedi, okay. It's like, kind of like the Jedi mind trick, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you actually speak in Russian, but you're making me think that you're speaking Spanish.
That's how it works.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's some serious Van Damme shit.
It is. Van Damme is actually from Belgium, just so you know.
Oh.
And I can do it in French too.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you can speak Spanish in Russian and French.
Well, it's actually, when I speak French, it's Portuguese.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, we're very happy to be here. We're very excited to be presenting you guys with another podcast. Hopefully you guys are making the most out of these podcasts by downloading the transcript, where you can see all the aspects of connected speech to help your pronunciation, plus all the new expressions. So hopefully you're taking your English to the next level with the Real Life English podcast. And without further ado, should we jump into today's episode? Obviously, first of all, get some love with the shoutouts.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. You know you
make me wanna... Oh, Mexico.
Mexico.
I lived in Mexico for a little while. For about a year, actually.
Which city?
Guanajuato.
Guanajuato?
Yeah, and Oaxaca.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Mexico.
Fond memories?
Oh, yeah, great food.
Okay.
Great people.
Excellent.
Really awesome culture. It was a really great time period in my life. So, this is from Grisel, from Mexico.
From who?
Grisel.
Grisel, okay.
Grisel. These podcasts are really fun. It's a great way to learn English. Not boring, not hard, so easy and practical. I always have a really good time listening to you guys. You guys rock. Oh yeah, thanks a lot. The best for you guys.
Oh.
Well, the best for you too.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's an awesome shout out. Did they actually say oh yeah or oh yeah?
They say oh yeah.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. You really know they're a dedicated listener when they actually write oh yeah correctly.
Viva Mexico, cabrones.
Oh yeah. So I wanted to give a little extra special shout out, not just to one individual, but one whole nation. And that would be China. China is actually the second biggest listener of the Real Life Podcast after Brazil.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know that China has a lot of regulations. I think we don't have too many Chinese people who follow our YouTube channel because of their regulations there. But if they're listening to the podcast, if you guys are out there, thanks a lot. We really appreciate you guys listening to this podcast and really hope we're helping you guys with your English.
Yeah, maybe, you know, if you have a chance to write a review, just maybe mention something about your city, because we'd really like to share about China, because I don't think a lot of people really know a lot about it.
Yeah, maybe something cool that people don't know and you think they should know. Just drop us a line.
What does drop a line mean?
to drop someone a line is to send them a message or sometimes give them a call.
Ah, sweet.
Just to get in touch with them. So yeah, drop us a line and we would really like to learn more about China and hopefully spread the word about something cool that most people don't know about your country.
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah. What's this heck yeah, man? Where's the oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that's the shout outs for today. Let's go straight into today's random news story on real life news. Okay, Justin, so you have another random news story for us today. Would you like to read out the headline for our listeners?
Sure thing. Man chasing a $20 bill winds up getting stuck down in a storm drain for 2 days.
What the hell?
A $20 bill.
Yeah, what's a bill? What's a $20 bill?
It's like the piece of paper. It's the note. It's the piece of paper that the $20 is represented on.
Yeah, like the note, the money.
Yeah.
Winds up. What do they mean by man chasing a $20 bill winds up?
It ends up.
Ends up.
The end result.
Yeah, it's the result of getting, and he got stuck down in a storm drain. What does to get stuck mean?
Get stuck is to, when you can't leave a place.
Yeah.
When you get trapped.
Trapped. There you go. In a storm drain.
And a storm drain is like when in the street where the water goes, it goes down beneath the street.
Exactly.
Usually only small animals can go through.
You generally see rats and cockroaches, generally disgusting animals, live down there. The Ninja Turtles live down there as well.
Yeah.
They live in storm drains. You know about the Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Alright, so tell us more, man. What is this? What happened here? What is this man thinking? Why did he chase a $20 bill and why did he get stuck down there for 2 days?
So, a man in Lawton, Oklahoma was walking outside when he inadvertently, or accidentally, dropped a $20 bill. It fell down a storm drain. Because the man, who has not been identified, needed the money, he went crawling after it. That turned out to be a big mistake.
Okay, so what do you mean by crawling after it? What's crawling? Why did he go crawling after the money?
Well, to crawl is like a child crawls on the ground. Mm-hmm. To sort of walk with their arms and legs.
Mm-hmm. So he crawled after it. So he must have really wanted that $20 and he went down the drain looking for it. Then what happened?
The man, who was disoriented and dehydrated when he was finally back above ground, could not tell the police how he was able to get down into underground pipes. However, they speculate it must have been via nearby storm drains. When he got down in there, he quickly discovered getting back up wouldn't be easy. He was as much as 12 feet below in a cramped, dark, and wet pipe in a system only one with a map would be able to navigate.
Wow, man. So he went down into the sewage drain and he was down there for 2 days in the dark. What do I mean by cramped? Below in a cramped, dark, and wet pipe. What's cramped?
Cramped is when you can't move around.
Mm-hmm.
So just, if you don't have like the feet and inches system like we do in the United States, 12 feet is 2 meters.
Okay.
2 meters beneath the surface.
Okay, so he couldn't really like jump up out of there.
No, it was really far down there in pipes.
Yeah.
Like really constrained, cramped.
Yeah. They must be quite intricate as well, the pipes, because they said only one with a map would be able to navigate inside there. Have you ever been in those pipes, like the city pipes? Did you do that in the U.S.?
No, I saw it on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, well, if the Ninja Turtles live down there, maybe some kids in the U.S., they might go down there and just kind of explore the storm drains, the pipes.
It's kind of scary to think about, to be honest with you.
And was he saved? How did he get saved?
It was only when a group of passing high schoolers were walking by that our wayward, or lost, friend was helped. They heard screams coming from down below and called 911 right away.
What's 911?
It's the number we call in emergency situations in the United States.
Okay. In Australia, we call 000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Once officers arrived on the scene, they removed a manhole cover. This is the cover that they used to cover the holes in the ground for the sewer.
Yeah.
And saw the man below.
Okay. Cool. So the manhole, generally I think a manhole is used because it's just the size of a man. Like, it's no bigger than the man's size to go down in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Interesting story. So did he actually find his $20?
No, he didn't.
He didn't find it?
No.
So all of that was for nothing.
But it was a good story, right?
It was a good story. You live and you learn, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he probably wouldn't be too proud to tell that story. But
yeah. Imagine being stuck down there for 2 days. There must be all kinds of rats and mice down there. It must smell a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that concludes another random news story from Real Life News. Just remember, kids, if you lose $20 or any money and it goes down a storm drain, just leave it. Don't worry about it. You don't want to get stuck down there for 2 days.
Yeah, like, that would suck.
That would suck. Awesome. So let's move on to the main course, today's conversation topic. What you talking about? So Justin, what you want to talk about today, man?
All right, today we have a really great topic. We're pretty excited about this. We've been waiting to do this one for a while, actually. We're going to talk about music.
Oh, yeah.
How to maximize music to help you learn a language.
Yeah. I believe someone quoted this one day that life without music is like living without a soul.
I can see that.
I think I heard that somewhere. Have you heard that before?
I saw a Facebook quote, I think.
Oh. Because if not, I could coin that.
Chad Fishwick.
Yeah.
What does coin mean?
Coin is like a dollar coin, you know, it's the physical object. But to coin something, the verb, would be to take authority and say that you were the person that said that first. I coined that quote.
I coined that term, for example. It's a very common collocation.
Yeah, I coined that term. Like, oh yeah, Real Life English has coined that term.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, there you go. So, music. How can music help us learn a language, especially English? What do you think, man? What are some techniques you've used? What's your experience with music and language learning?
Well, first of all, you don't need to understand it to really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So it's something that people are already listening to. People that don't even speak English are listening to music in English all around the world already.
Yeah, often they even sing the song in English when they don't really know what they're singing.
Yeah.
I get that all the time. Here in Brazil, someone's singing a song in English, and they actually sing it pretty well. I'm like, oh, man, your English is really good. I'm like, okay. Like, oh, I just thought you spoke English because you sang it so well.
So a lot of times people, I think, are already really introduced to the culture in an unconscious way.
Mm-hmm. And culture in what sense would you say in this case?
I'd say the rhythms and sounds of English are in the music.
Okay.
Just like any other culture. If you think about it, mm-hmm. really.
So you don't mean the culture of a place, you mean the culture of the language.
Well, what's the difference, right? I mean, because you have, of course, you have various English-speaking countries. You have Australia, United States,
yeah,
the UK, and other countries as well.
Yeah.
But they're sort of like brought together in English-speaking music.
You think that American music and English music and Australian English is very similar?
In some ways, there's been this like international pop culture, globalized pop culture.
Yeah, you're right. Definitely pop culture has been very globalized. It's very similar.
So I don't know how really authentic it is, but I bet you can find some really great Australian bands that represent the culture.
Yeah, that's just a little bit more authentic, something that's a little bit more unique from Australia.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hey there, Real Life Radio listener. Sorry to interrupt the show, but we're just really excited to announce the return of the Real Life Radio Connected Speech Lessons. We stopped creating them for a while to focus on the Real Life Global Movement, which is our worldwide network of in-person language learning events. But now we're back and we've taken the feedback you've given us and made these transcript lessons better than ever. We also added a vocabulary learning resource teaching the 30 most essential advanced vocabulary terms from each episode, including idioms, slang, and phrasal verbs, all with audio examples recorded by us. And if you buy now, you get a discount and some awesome bonus material, including a consultation with us. With the diligent use of the Real Life Radio Connected Speech Guide, you will catalyze your English to new levels by learning to understand native speakers without subtitles or transcripts, systematically building more vocabulary than you ever thought was possible, as well as dramatically improving your experience of this podcast. To learn more about this special, limited time offer, go to www.reallifeglobal.com/episode60, where you will find the show notes for this episode and a link to this special offer. This offer is going to end this Monday, July the 14th at midnight, BRT time, that's Brazilian time. And once more, the link is reallifeglobal.com/episode60. Again, sorry for the interruption, and let's get back to the show. Cool, but how have you used music, you know, in a more structured way to learn language? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, well, for example, on my iPod, I've gotten the lyrics. I've copied and pasted the lyrics onto my iPod, and I'd listen to the music and really just look up the words and try to understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. And did you sing alone?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm alone, I'm not the best singer, but...
Not even in the shower? Everyone loves to sing in the shower.
I've done it before. Back in the States, when I was living in the States, like, I used to sing in my car all the time. I used to drive around.
Yeah, generally, for some reason, when you're in your car, you just assume that no one can actually see you or hear you. But it's not true. You always see people singing in their car, picking their nose in the car.
Yeah, and Chad actually... You're actually pretty good at singing. You sing in Portuguese, a bunch of songs.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm a good singer. I just like to sing.
Well, to talk a little bit about how you started to learn Portuguese.
Yeah, well, I think we've mentioned this a few times on the podcast, that one of the reasons I came to Brazil was to get a first-hand experience of capoeira. I'm not sure if you guys know that much about capoeira, but capoeira is a martial arts dance, but it also incorporates music. This is something that, because capoeira is derived from the African Brazilian slaves, they used music and dance to disguise their martial arts. So singing is a really big part of capoeira. And before I even came to Brazil, I started practicing capoeira in Australia. And part of the training is you have to kind of learn the songs. You have to sing in Portuguese. So I'm like this kid, I'm like, oh, I have to sing in Portuguese? What the hell is this? So I got a book with some of the songs in there, and I listened to some of my teachers singing, and I would listen to some CDs, and I was singing in Portuguese without even really knowing what the hell I was singing about, you know? So that was my first experience with Portuguese. I didn't really understand the language, but I was singing the songs. So that was a great experience for me in regards to learning Portuguese, because I already knew a lot of the songs, although I didn't understand the words exactly. I mean, obviously I picked up some words, the more important words, but when I came to Brazil, I felt like in regards to my pronunciation and my Portuguese kind of accent, I felt like it was much easier for me because I was so familiar with all the different sounds that I picked up through learning capoeira music.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's really kind of an emotional experience doing it, so it's meaningful to you.
Yeah, ever since I started practicing capoeira, my goal was to learn Portuguese one day. So coming to Brazil and having that experience was kind of like a bit of a dream for me as a younger boy.
So I think this kind of represents how music can really be a bridge between cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Just like capoeira music and capoeira is, I think if you really take advantage of it, you can really glimpse or see into English-speaking culture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to music from a certain place, can really start to get a feel for what's behind the words.
Especially music that is specifically related to a specific culture. I mean, coming from Australia, we don't really have that. I mean, we have a lot of music, a lot of really good Australian music. Some of it's pop music, some of it's more regional music, but it doesn't really have that much history to it. I know, especially here in South America, there's so many awesome genres of music, stuff that I would have never even heard of if I was still living in Australia. But coming here and experiencing that, it totally connects you to the history of the place and the culture that goes with it. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm from Seattle, Washington, that area. And so I tell people where I'm from, and everybody's like, oh, grunge, Nirvana.
Oh, there you go. That's where grunge music was. Yeah. That's where it originated from, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's a big movement there in the early 90s that everybody, the whole world knows about, even today. And it's a place really rich with music.
Yeah.
Like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most famous bands. But it's really cool in some sense because it's a very unique cultural heritage.
Mm-hmm. And did you experience much of that growing up? I mean, were you part of that movement? Were you like a grunge guy?
No, well, for two reasons. Well, first of all, I didn't actually live in Seattle. I lived to the north of Seattle, like 45 minutes in the country.
Oh, but 45 minutes is not very far.
I was a kid, though.
Oh, okay.
I never even went to Seattle. I only went to watch like baseball games sometimes.
Okay, gotcha.
But because I was born in 79, and that started in like 90, 91.
Okay.
But I went to some concerts when I was like 18 or 19, and I experienced some of that. But
What concerts did you go to?
Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Only Pearl Jam, pretty much, that I experienced.
You never experienced Kurt Cobain?
No, I never saw him. I think he killed himself in 1994, 95, I believe.
Yeah, that's tragic.
But, you know, this is just one era, one movement. I think there are many more throughout history. I mean, you look, it sort of tells a story of history, at least in kind of English-speaking countries.
Mm-hmm. So like the grunge movement was, when did that start roughly? Around like the 80s, late 80s, early 90s?
I think the roots of it were in the 80s, but it really took off.
Oh, what does take off mean?
Like a plane takes off.
Mm-hmm.
It means to really accelerate or become successful. That really took off in the early 90s. But you look at other epics, like one epic that was really big, I think, was the Beatles.
Oh, definitely the Beatles. Because the Beatles definitely had many different styles. They kind of evolved with themselves as a band throughout, you know, the late 50s, early 60s, I think, all the way up to the late 70s.
I heard a story, actually, that they played for a couple of years in this. They played just gigs 5 days a week or 6 days a week, 8 hours per day.
1 second. What is a gig?
A gig is like when a band plays a show.
Yeah.
When a band plays a concert. I hear people misuse this a lot. Like, hey, do you want to go to a gig? But a gig is only a term that artists use.
But we can kind of use it more in an everyday situation. Oh, I got this teaching gig down at the university there.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like kind of an arrangement, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the Beatles had this gig where they would play like, I think, 5 or 6 days a week, 8 hours a day. And they would be practicing and rehearsing basically as a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. This is how they got so good.
Yeah, rehearsing? What does rehearsing mean?
Rehearse means to like try out, to really practice your material.
Yeah, especially for like, what would you use that for, music, maybe even for theater?
Yeah, but this was, their rehearsal was their performance.
Yeah.
And so they just practiced and developed like a really good synergy.
Another really good word you could use would be, they were jamming.
Yeah, but jamming is more relaxed, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably like just improvising with other musicians. Like you have no real planned arrangements of music.
And so another musician that he's sort of like the king of American music in some sense. I mean, he's not the king. That would be Elvis Presley, I guess.
Oh yeah, Elvis Presley is the king.
I was gonna say Bob Dylan.
Okay,
but because he's sort of influenced like everybody who's come after him.
Okay, definitely. Didn't he become famous during some kind of social revolution?
I think like the early 60s, people say that he channeled like the collective unconscious.
Okay.
In the United States and all these anti-war protests, like Vietnam War and all that.
During Vietnam, yeah, definitely.
Just like masses of people like against the war, and Bob Dylan sort of channeled that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a very soulful voice. I mean, you would say he plays folk music, American folk music, would you say?
Yeah, yeah. There's a really good movie I recommend. I didn't really know so much about Bob Dylan, even though he formed the background of my culture, the culture I grew up in. Mm-hmm. But I watched this movie, it's called No Direction Home.
Mm.
A really great documentary about Bob Dylan and his life. And I realized that Bob Dylan's music was everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know it was by him.
Yeah, okay. Talking about Bobs, another famous Bob, Mr. Bob Marley. What do you think about him?
There's actually a poster on the studio wall here, Bob Marley. And the walls are painted with Jamaican colors. Just so you know, Chad has a Bob Marley coffee cup.
Well, I'm not, you know, I used to really like reggae music. I still really like reggae music. And I think in Australia, reggae is quite popular where I come from. I mean, now that I've been influenced so much with Brazilian music, I haven't been around reggae music so much anymore. But I still love Bob Marley, great musician.
So what's the essence of reggae music?
Well, I guess reggae music, it has a few different ways to interpret it. I mean, where I'm from, it's more of a surfing kind of style, on the beach, listening to some reggae music, maybe drinking some beers.
But Bob Marley was all about peace, right?
Yeah, Bob Marley was all about peace, one love. He was also somewhat of a religious man. He followed Rastafarianism. That's why he has his big dreadlocks.
Okay.
I don't really know too much about Rastafarianism, but I know that's what he followed. I know that's...
Well, the Rastafarian flag, the Jamaica colors, it's actually, it's like sort of orangish red, green, mm-hmm. and yellow. This is you see those bracelets, it's sort of like a symbol of peace.
Yeah, it is. I think that actually comes from the Ethiopian flag.
Really?
Yeah, Alii Selassie was one of the Ethiopian kings, I believe, or princes.
This is a Rastafari culture came from there?
I think it did come from there, yes. Okay. Yeah, from Ethiopia. I'm not 100% sure. But that's what I think I remember hearing.
So Bob Marley is like the late 70s, right?
Late 70s, yeah. Unfortunately, he died. And most people think he died of, I don't know, drugs or something like this. But he actually died of cancer. Or I think he got an infected toenail and somehow it caused the cancer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Poor guy. Happens to a lot of good musicians. They tend to die early for some reason.
I think like 28 years old is supposed to be. Jim Morrison too, I think he died 28.
There you go.
Kurt Cobain.
Most recently, Amy Winehouse.
She was 28?
I don't know if she was 28, but for the purposes of the podcast, let's just say that she is. She was.
Okay.
Also,
we have...
Jimi Hendrix, I think.
Yeah, this actually brings us into... He's from Seattle, too, by the way.
Hendrix is from Seattle?
Yeah. Awesome. There's a museum in the shape of a guitar.
Oh, really?
It's kind of a really ugly building, but it's... I haven't been there, but it's supposed to be the best like rock and roll museum in the world.
Maybe just really quick, some more recent genres. We talked about this recently with Max as well. Rap music,
definitely.
Tupac.
This is, yeah.
Did you ever listen to rap music or to Tupac?
I never really got deep into it, you know. I just listened to, what's his name?
Because he was an OG, man. Tupac.
Some people say he's actually still alive. I mean, he died when he was 28, by the way, but some people... I'm not sure about that, actually, but...
Yeah, him and Biggie Smalls, I think they were murdered to get... I don't know. We should really check our facts before we start talking about
this. It's all conjecture.
What does conjecture mean?
Conjecture is like when you're just guessing... When you're, we're not experts on this, but, you know, we're teaching the English language, not rap history.
Yeah. Sorry, just going back to Tupac, though, something that's really cool is there is a video on YouTube, we'll link it in the show notes and on the transcript, is Snoop Dogg did a show. If you haven't seen it and you like rap music, I definitely suggest you watch this show because it's the best rap show I've ever seen. It's called Up in Smoke. And in this show, Snoop Dogg is singing a song which he used to sing with Tupac, and suddenly there is a Tupac hologram. Have you seen that?
No.
Man, it's unbelievable how lifelike it looks, the hologram.
Some people were like, holy crap.
Well, you can tell it's a hologram because it just kind of appears and it's like a big light, but he kind of looks like he's a ghost or an angel or something.
Was Elvis there too?
Yeah, everyone was there, man. Elvis, Hendrix was there.
So nowadays, I don't know. I don't know if like a lot of this music has really defined itself as like this completely new genre. You have like pop rock music, you have like U2, mm-hmm. right? You have...
You're a U2 fan?
Yeah, I like U2.
Me too.
They've been around since the 80s, but they're constantly evolving and reinventing themselves as well.
Yeah. I think even they've remained very famous because Bono, he's actually a... what's it called? Philanthropist.
What does philanthropist mean?
A philanthropist? It's a difficult word to say. It's kind of just a guy with a lot of money who gives his money away, helps people. I think that's what it is.
But if you read Bono's story, it's more inspiring than that. I mean, he's kind of about all about world peace. Read his lyrics, and there's a depth to it.
So. There is. His lyrics are very deep.
Nowadays, what kind of music do you think is pretty popular or pretty significant?
Well, I mean, me personally, the music that I listen to that I think is quite current would be electronic music.
Okay.
I quite like electronic music. I mean, I can't really remember many, like, DJs' names. I just get sets, so...
What does set mean?
A set in this case would be, like, the DJ set, which is the... Imagine he's going to do a performance and he plays, like... Because a DJ, it's mechanical, so they mix, they get old songs sometimes. I've heard DJs mixing music from the 80s, from the 90s, etc. And they mix it all together and they make a big set of music. So they play around with mechanical kind of sounds. But it's really cool because they play songs over other songs and you get some really cool sounds. You'd be like, wow, what is that? And even nowadays I've been listening to a style of music which is called dubstep.
Okay. But they have lyrics in dubstep, don't they?
Well, I mean, they do, but they're generally very repetitive, or they're lyrics from another song.
So it can be beneficial for a language learner in the sense of beyond the cultural experience, but lyrics, right?
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Really depends. I mean, I wouldn't really suggest this kind of music for language learning specifically, but you could get some benefits from it. I don't know, what music do you think would be the most beneficial?
I think rap music is definitely probably the most beneficial, even though I don't like it a whole lot, but I can see the benefit as a teacher and mm-hmm. as a language learner as well. If you research into that, we have some good articles about this, you'll see that it can be amazing if you make this a practice. Like singing, enunciating the words, like mm-hmm. practicing pronunciation with these songs, comparing, mimicking.
Yeah. mimicking nice. I think rap's really good because not only are you hearing sounds like I mentioned with capoeira music, sounds that I wasn't accustomed to, sounds that I didn't know, the benefit in rap music is that it's really quick. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you want to really imitate them and mimic them, you're going to be pretty good. I mean, your mouth will probably start hurting because the mouth muscles are doing all these crazy things that it's never done before.
Yeah, it's definitely a really good mouth workout. And if you do this every day or several days a week, you're gonna develop a different kind of level of ability with your pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. Plus all the cultural stuff you're going to learn, the history, like we mentioned before.
It's a great way to connect people too.
Awesome. Oh yeah, man. Should we quickly move on to the question?
Let's do it.
Okay, so today's question is more like a tip. We haven't done a tip for a while. So how about we give these guys an awesome tip related to music?
Let's do it.
Justin, I'm sure you're familiar with this. And maybe we've even mentioned this on one of the early podcasts. But this website has recently had a makeover.
What does makeover mean?
A makeover is when you, for example, if a woman has a makeover, it's when she goes to the beauty parlor or the beauty salon and she does all of her makeup and she cuts her hair and she totally changes the way that she looks for the better.
Okay.
So if the website had a makeover, it means it's improved, it looks much better now. And this website is lyricstraining.com. Have you used that?
I've checked it out. To be honest with you, I haven't even seen the new website.
Okay. Really good. I suggest you tell your students about this too. It's an awesome website. What you do, just log in there. It's for free. Just go to the website. And first thing you'll see is like a list of songs. There's even a search bar where you can search a song to just see if it's there on the website. You literally just choose the song and the song appears in a little screen. And under the screen, there is all the lyrics. But some of the words have been taken out. So as you listen to the song, you just fill in the blanks. And a really cool thing about this is that they have different levels. You have beginner, intermediate, advanced, and expert. I suggest starting with beginner, obviously. Intermediate's pretty hard. They have like maybe 50 words you have to put in there. When it's advanced, it's pretty damn hard. It's like more than half of the song. And expert, the whole song.
Well, here's a little side note. Like most natives they can't do the whole song.
Yeah, I did.
To be honest with you. I hear songs and I don't understand like all the words most of the time.
Mm-hmm. But is it because you're not really paying attention to the lyrics? I think people often have a tendency to listen more so to the music and feel the harmonies and things like this. It's more of a sensation as opposed to like you're conscious of what people are saying.
It depends on the song, to be honest with you, because some songs, it's just really difficult to understand.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not singing clearly.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But other songs, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. But it's a great resource, guys. Add that to your resource list. You guys are going to be singing in no time to some of your favorite English singing musicians.
Let me give you a quick grammar tip too to add on this, a little bonus, because this is a mistake that a lot of my students make. Lyrics. Lyrics, don't confuse this with the word letter.
Oh, okay. What's the difference?
Because in Portuguese and Spanish, a letter is like your handwriting, what you write, mm-hmm. right? And in Portuguese and Spanish, the word letra mm-hmm. is the same thing as lyrics.
Okay.
So people will say, I like the letter of this song, but it's lyrics. Mm-hmm. I like the lyrics in plural. I like the lyrics to that song.
Mm-hmm. And another really big mistake people make is the difference between song and music.
Yep.
Did we answer that already?
Yeah, I did a 1 minute video about this.
Okay. Can we link it in the show notes?
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's not even tell them about it. If you want to know the difference between song and music, you got to click on the Justin's video and check out his explanation of the difference between song and music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, guys, for joining us here today.
I hope this podcast has been music to your ears.
Oh, music to your ears. What does that mean?
Music to your ears is something that you enjoy, a good sound.
Mm-hmm.
All right, today we're going to play you out with the American folk musician Bob Dylan.
What's he gonna play for us?
He's gonna play like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah. I said, what's he gonna play for us? Because we've actually got him in the studio here right now.
So. Bob, come on out.
Come on, man. Yep, let's hear it. It's like music to our ears, right?
This is a live performance, Bob Dylan, in the Real Life studio for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. See you guys next week on the Real Life English Podcast.
Take care, guys.
People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone. Are you gone to the finest school? All right, Miss Lonely, but you know you only used to get juiced in it. Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal? Let other people get your kicks for you. You used to ride on a chrome horse with your diplomat, who carried on his shoulder a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that he really wasn't gifts, but you better take your diamond ring, you better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Now you got no secrets to conceal.